My name is Christelle Donaldson, and you're listening to The Working Mum's Show, episode number 12, Conversation with a Midwife on Navigating Swiss Pregnancy, with Harriet Thorne. Welcome to The Working Mum's Show. I'm your host, Christelle Donaldson, mum of two and busy professional. In this show, we explore different ways to find balance and thrive as a working mum in Switzerland. We'll share practical advice and inspiration to help you prioritize your health, family and career. From self-care and mindfulness to career development or financial planning, we'll cover a range of topics to help you feel your best and achieve your goals. So join us as we dive into the challenges and joys of being a working mum and discover how to create a life that's balanced and fulfilled. Hello again. Today I talk with Harriet, who is an independent midwife in Switzerland. Harriet got a PhD when she was younger, and then after starting to work in a lab, realized that she wanted to have a job a bit more fulfilling and became an independent midwife. She went to train in the UK at Oxford to become a midwife, and then worked in hospital and various places before deciding that she wanted to have more time for her family and become independent as a midwife to spend a lot of time with women needing her help and support, delivering their babies, learning how to manage their pregnancy, and further. In the episode, Harriet shares some great information about what a midwife is, how we choose one, you know, how we choose about where we want to give birth when we're in Switzerland, how women can find that midwife, and a whole lot of other things like the rules that employers have to respect when you're pregnant, where you can find information about that, how you can prepare for your birth, the type of work that you do with a midwife, and a whole lot of very valuable insights. So I encourage you to listen to the podcast today if you're pregnant and to share with your fellow pregnant mums. Enjoy! Hello, Harriet. I'm very happy to have you on the podcast today. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
It's very good to have you because you have some great things to share with us. You're a midwife, an independent midwife, and you have many things to cover today and to share insights for mothers who are expecting a baby and want to learn more about that. So before we dig in, could you introduce yourself and what led you to becoming a midwife?
Yep. So my name's Harriet. I am an independent midwife, but how did I become an independent midwife? Long story short, I've actually got a PhD in bioprocessing. And whilst I was doing my PhD, I actually did a big reflection of who I am and what I want to do out of life. And I actually realized I needed a vocation and not a profession. And actually a vocation and a profession is even better. So I then looked at becoming a healthcare professional, and I've always been passionate about pregnancy and creating new life and birth and babies and what's better than following these women becoming mothers and being born themselves as mothers than being a midwife. So I went to Oxford, where I did a master's direct entry for pre-registration midwives. And I trained for 3 years, and I did a bit of research on the side, which was included in the curriculum. And yeah, it was a great experience and I really loved it. And then I came back to Switzerland because I am a Swiss. And I worked for 2 years in a hospital, and then I did a bit of research after my first son was born, because the hours just aren't compatible with young family life. And then after that, I went to work in Bern at the midwifery school there, where I was the deputy head of the master's midwifery program. And now, again, the hours just are not compatible with mum life, and I was getting home later and later, and I just couldn't bridge the gap between work and getting home in time to collect my children from daycare that were finishing at 6. Mm. So I was like, well, I need to work closer to home, and then I had this whole reflection of why am I a midwife? Why did I start this in the first place? And it's actually to be with women. And so being an independent midwife and work with women during their pregnancy, preparing them for birth and meeting their little baby, and then seeing them again back home with their baby, and following them the first few weeks of their lives of cohabitation and becoming a mom for the first, second, third, seventh time. Whatever rocks people's boats. That's what I wanted to do. So I was like, well, here I am, independent midwife.
Okay, so just maybe as a side note, for people who don't really know what a midwife is, you know, if you haven't had a baby yet, maybe you know what your gynecologist is, you know what a nurse is, but kind of in a nutshell, what is a midwife?
So a midwife is a healthcare professional. She's accountable for her actions. She's a registered professional person. So you need to have training, and in this case, university training. We have a Bachelor of Science. Some even have masters and even PhDs. So it is a high-level profession. What is the role of the midwife is to actually be with women, provide women-centered care to ensure that the woman's pregnancy goes well, that she is an advocate for that, for the woman in her care, making sure that that she gets the birth that she wants whilst keeping the family safe
Okay.
and the best experience.
Ah, great. So maybe before we go into the details of the midwife and working with a midwife, etc., can we talk a little bit about the different options that women have for giving birth in Switzerland? And you know, how do you choose actually where you go and give birth?
Okay, so I'll quickly go back again to your previous question, is what is the role of the midwife? It's also to make sure that we are staying in physiology, so normality as possible. And if there is a complication or complexity, that we're working with gynecologists, to make sure that we're still looking at the woman as a whole, holistically, and not just as a woman with that pathology, and the pathology then becomes the identity of the woman. So that is the role of the midwife. So what options do you have in Switzerland? So you can have the sort of standard route if you want, that can be for all women with healthy pregnancies that are straightforward. But also women that have a complication or a complexity. Some women have diabetes, so we have to make sure that their pregnancy stays healthy and is managed as closely to normality as possible, but still making sure that the baby is growing healthily and that the woman stays healthy as well. So their women are usually followed by their own gynecologist that they usually know since puberty. And then they go into a hospital where they can give birth, and then they go home, and that's where they sometimes have a first contact with their independent midwife at home, what after having given birth with their to their baby. But that's not the only route. If you are a healthy woman with a straightforward pregnancy, some would also dubbed it as low-risk pregnancy. You can be followed by a midwife, and you can be followed by a midwife during pregnancy, go into hospital for birth, and then come back to the midwife that followed you in pregnancy. Or you can be followed by your midwife, give birth with your midwife at home, and then be followed by that same midwife postnatally. So that is very nice because you actually have the continuum, and it's very, what's the word? It's private, secluded. You're in a little cocoon, and this sort of you it's very private moment rather than being sort of left, right, and center, and everybody knows everything about your business. But you also have maison de naissance, birth centers. in which you meet midwives that follow you through the pregnancy, and you actually leave your house to give birth, but in a midwifery-led center. So there's no doctors, but you are leaving your house to go somewhere that is not your home, but is also, but it's more a cocoon, private, not in the sort of like private in the secluded way, your own cocoon, rather than a busy lit hospital.
Yes,
You're making a
okay.
nest, but there the midwife is well equipped as well for emergency care if needed.
Okay, so lots of choice, and I guess women have the option to ask the doctors to look online. So, how do you go about choosing if you want to go and choosing an independent midwife as opposed to maybe ones that the hospital or recommended by your doctor? How do you go looking for them specifically when you don't maybe speak the language, French or German or Italian, depending where you live?
So with pregnancy, even the French speaking or the German speaking Swiss person, they sometimes don't even know that you can have midwifery-led care in Switzerland. And they just go with the flow. They call their gynecologist or they go to hospital when they have a positive pregnancy test, and they just follow through. And if that's what they want, that's fantastic. That's great. But if you want something a bit more different, a bit more midwifery-led, that is more personal, maybe that's the right term. Then you can look on the midwifery website of Switzerland, hebamme.ch. I'll give you the links.
Okay,
Maybe you can
thanks.
put that in the show notes, and you can find a midwife there. You can also look, depending on your canton, like for example, the canton de Fribourg has a whole list of the midwives, and that's how the women in Fribourg choose their midwives, even if they go the hospital route, or their own gynecologist and then hospital. Once they leave the hospital, they need to have a midwife, so they have to go onto that website. Otherwise, you can look online. The midwifery centers across Switzerland. So I think good old Google is your friend here.
I'm sure. I think that's how I found mine.
Of course, people can find me, and I can also maybe help them find their midwife if they're too far away.
Okay, good. And so when you have a midwife, some of it is covered by insurance, some of it is not. It might not be clear, and also depending on what type of insurance we have, but what is typically covered? And how often do you see the midwife before giving birth, after? Can we detail a bit more?
So the assurance de base obligatoire. I don't know what that is in German. I think you have some German listeners. So basically, the mandatory health insurance covers 7 prenatal appointments. Those are fixed for every woman. Some women will see their gynecologist or midwife more if the midwife or the gynecologist thinks, we need to monitor closely for whatever reason. It can be a social reason, like it can be a health reason. But that's what the health insurance covers. And then on top of that, you get 150 francs, which can be used for prenatal classes, private or group prenatal classes. You can also do gym classes. It's up to you really what you want to use that 150 francs for, but it has to be given by a midwife or a recognized healthcare professional, depending on what you're choosing to do. But usually, I'd say 99% of the time, it's a midwife that gives, like, even if it's Aquagym, it has to be given by a midwife.
So that was for prenatal care, right? And then there's
That's
more
correct.
after the birth.
And then the healthcare insurance also covers birth. So, should it be in a hospital or in a recognized birthing center? Because not all birthing centers are recognized, or by a midwife at home. So that is, birth is usually covered by healthcare insurance, and also for the presence of a midwife or a doctor. And then postnatally, you get 16 visits if it's your first baby from a midwife at home.
15.
16.
16, yeah.
Or if you have a cesarean section, twins, a small baby, or a premature baby. Then if it's your second, third, well, subsequent babies, and you've had a normal vaginal delivery, you get 10 home visits. Of course, if something develops and the midwife and the mom thinks we need more visits, it can be prescribed by the pediatrician or the gynecologist, depending on the reason why the midwife woman dyad believe they need more visits and needs to be prescribed. But usually that gets prescribed quite easily.
And midwives help, because I know they are lactation specialists, but midwives can also help with breastfeeding, right?
That's correct, yes. So on top of the postnatal visits, if you decide to breastfeed, you get three consultations. These consultations can be given by your midwife. It can also be given by the children's nurse, the puéricultrice in French, or a lactation consultant. These three visits can be given at any time. It can be at the beginning of your pregnancy, of your, sorry, the beginning of your lactation journey, the first few weeks. If you use the three of them the first month, then they're done. But you can also use them when you're deciding to stop breastfeeding, and it can be even 3 years down the line. Maybe what I should have mentioned for the postnatal visits is for during the first 56 days of the baby's life that you get those visits. And you also get, sorry, another visit with by your gynecologist or a midwife at between 6 and 8 weeks up post birth. And that's included.
I remember it felt really nice having a midwife coming and checking that everything was okay, like you were saying, at home, in your cocoon when you have with your baby. For me, I didn't have my parents close, so it was nice to have someone that didn't feel like just a doctor during your regular checkup. So indeed, it's a very nice relationship if you find someone that you get on well with and who can really help you through the whole journey. I think you wanted to cover some legalities around what you can expect or not in terms of when you're pregnant, how much you work, when you can take time off, work from home, all these kind of aspects, because you have quite a bit of experience and knowledge on that too, right?
I wanted to mention something about this because I saw on the Facebook group that there were loads of questions about that. And so I'm not a lawyer. I'm a midwife, but I can signpost where to go and maybe just give the rough guidelines of or recommendations and where to go so that you can have a discussion with your employer. So I want to also just mention that there are exceptions. There are some domains of activities that are not included in the loi du travail, the law regarding employment, and that would be agricultural domains. If you work on a farm or in a vineyard, this may not apply to you. Or if you work in a private household, if you are a concierge or a maid, a cleaner, this will probably not apply to you. And also, if you're working from home, distance working, this might not apply either. But if you have any questions, do get in touch with your cantonal work inspector, or to check on online. There's also the website, the confederal website, the SECO, Secrétariat de l'Économie de l'Intérieur in French, is really well, can signpost you pretty well. There is a whole PDF document about it as well that's in French and German and Italian. Unfortunately, not in English, but with all the tools today, you can easily translate it if needs be. So I think the first thing you need to do once you have announced your pregnancy to your employer is conduct a risk analysis, especially if you are working with microbials, chemicals that can put your pregnancy at risk, or if you are doing tedious or dangerous tasks. What is a tedious task, may you ask? Well, it could be if you are always, if you're moving around weights that are over 5 kilos and sometimes even 10 kilos, that is considered as a tedious and dangerous task. Even if you are working and you're getting into positions that can tire you out physically, if you're bending over a lot or stretching, these things can be considered as tedious. If you're working in cold fridges or in heated rooms, like above 28 degrees, or I say fridges, but it's actually my freezers, minus 5 degrees, there, or in high humidity, there you need to also check out if you are allowed to work in these conditions. If you're working with, as I said before, chemical substances that could put your pregnancy at risk, your baby at risk, this is something you need to quickly do a risk analysis. So yeah, that's something that you need to do, and this is applicable for your pregnancy, but also the immediate postpartum, depending on when you're getting back to work and if you're breastfeeding. So when you're pregnant, usually your work is carries out as the same, but if you
Breastfeeding.
walking or standing up during your working hours, you are allowed to an extra 10-minute break every 2 hours. And also, if you're walking a lot, for example, you are a waitress in a restaurant or working in a bar or cafe, you need to have 12 hours break between the end of your shift and the beginning of your next shift. So you can't finish, say, at 8 o'clock or 10 o'clock and then start at 6 o'clock in the morning. And that's from 4 months of in your pregnancy. When you are 6 months pregnant, you are only allowed to work 4 hours under those conditions. Yes, not a lot of people know
No,
that.
that's great details, and I'm sure not many
Yeah.
people know indeed.
And if you are working nights, so that doesn't change until you are 32 weeks pregnant. Once you are 32 weeks pregnant, or it actually says 8 weeks till your due date, you are no longer allowed to work between the hours of 8 p.m. and 6 a.m. And your employer has to find an equivalent work during the day. And if that is not possible, still pay you 80% of your salary. So that is the sort of rough rules for when you're pregnant. And then once you've had your baby, you are entitled to 14 weeks maternity leave. But if you want to start work, you are allowed to work only from the 8th week postpartum. So once your baby's born and your baby's 8 weeks. Now you have to be careful, because even if you start work part-time, so if you are doing maybe only one day a week from your 8 weeks, the pay that you receive from your maternity leave drops. So you need to make sure that you are not losing out financially.
Right.
And also tedious, so the tasks that I said before, and also night work is prohibited until 16 weeks postpartum. So the first 2 weeks, if you go back to work, sorry, after 14 weeks, you are not allowed to do tedious tasks or work nights. Well, from between 8 and 6.
Okay.
So this is regardless if you're breastfeeding or bottle feeding. And if you're breastfeeding, your employer has to make sure that you have a private room where you can rest and pump or breastfeed your baby. You can decide to pump, and then your employer also has to make sure you have a fridge in which you can store your breast milk safely. And but you are also allowed to breastfeed your baby. Either you leave your workplace, or if you have somebody that brings your baby to feed your baby, you are allowed to do so in that private room. If you are working 4 hours or under 4 hours a day, you are entitled to 30 minutes break on top of your normal breaks. And those 30 minutes are paid. If you're working between 4 and 7 hours a day, you're entitled to 60 minutes of extra breaks, which are paid. And if it's above 7 hours, so between 7 and 9, you are entitled to 90 minutes to breastfeed, rest, or pump. And what I forgot to say also, in for your pregnancy and if you're breastfeeding, you are only allowed to work up to 9 hours a day, even if your contract states that you need to work more. But your immediate postpartum, if you're breastfeeding, and I believe that's up until the baby is 1 year of age. So that those are the rough guidelines. I'm no lawyer. Do check it out. Yeah, do check it out, and check out those PDFs. They're really clear, and every person has a different job, and so you need to find what is right for you.
Did you have any other key takeaways or advice that you wanted to give for women who are pregnant, expecting, or about to, well, or just had a baby?
So I think what I see a lot, and what I really want the message to be understood loud and clear, is that it's your body and it's your baby. And nobody has the right to do anything to you without your consent. And what is consent? Consent is if you have to make a choice, a medical choice, or a decision on how you're feeding your baby, for example. And you decide one thing, and the doctor says, "Oh, no, that is not correct. You need to do this." It doesn't mean that your doctor is right. You need to ask your doctor, "Okay, why? What are the risks? What are the benefits? And what if we do nothing?" Those are the questions your doctor has to answer you, or the midwife. The midwife has that same obligation. And then you work together. You are not an object. You are a woman, a human being, and you need to be treated as a human being. You have your rights, and you need to have the best experience, because regret is horrible.
Oh, thank you very much. I think that was very useful. Indeed, I will post in the show notes the documents and the link that you mentioned so that people can have information, and I'll give your contact details as well so that if they need to ask you for anything, you'll be there for them.
Exactly.
Thank you very much, Harriet.
You're very welcome.
Lovely to see you. Bye bye.
Bye.